Please, and turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and I'm checking on the live stream here, those that's commented. I see Miss Myra, Charity, Brother Kenny and Miss Donna, Brother William and Miss Leah, Brother Mike and Miss Sherry. Let's see here. Miss Sherry says, I want to thank God for His blessings each day for Mike and me. Amen. Appreciate them. Brother Phil Ray and Miss Patty, they're on. I don't know if I mentioned them. And other folks might be watching but haven't commented. We appreciate you joining us this morning via live stream. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We started this message last Sunday night and really just got in the introduction good, and I want to come back, and with it being Mother's Day, I guess it would fit well. Like I said, I would preach on being a good mother, but like I said, I've never been one, and I'm not brave enough to let a woman have the pulpit on Mother's Day, amen. I won't tell you what I told Barry Spears and Clay Collins I was going to preach on today. See me after church and I'll tell you. But Barry Spears said, ooh, that's rough. I said, well, that's rough for Barry Spears. You know it's rough, amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. And we'll try to give you the burden that the Lord's laid on our heart today. Now, they've been shouting me down in South Carolina the last 3 weeks. So y'all going to have to wake up and help me out a little bit, all right? Let me hear some amens. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 1, the Bible said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Let's pray together and ask God to help us. Father, we love you tonight, or this morning, because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have together in the house of God. I pray now you touch us, anoint us, touch our voice, or touch our mind, touch our thoughts. Lord, I pray you give us a traveling mind in the scriptures and recall to our mind the things we have meditated upon this week and even this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you fill us with the Holy Ghost, we may exalt Jesus Christ. I pray if there's one here today or that's watching on live stream that's lost, I pray you deal with their hearts, save them by the grace of God. Have your will and way. We'll love you and thank you for all you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, we understand we come to the book of Deuteronomy that Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he is writing the last book of the Bible that he will pen down. By the way, God told the men what to write down in the Bible. Somebody said, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, how did Moses write the book of Genesis when he didn't show up to the book of Exodus? God told him what to write down. Amen. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We don't believe in manual dictation. We don't believe that man went into a trance, and I believe their personalities was involved in that. But God did tell them what to write down. Amen. And so when Moses is writing this, he's writing the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he's instructing the nation of Israel about keeping the commandments and the statutes and the judgments of the Lord. Of course, we understand the context. He's referring a lot to the Levitical law and to the 613 commandments that God gave the nation of Israel. But practically in application, he's talking about teaching their families the Word of God. We are raising a generation, I'm afraid, that knows little or nothing about God and who God is. I believe the cause of this, and we've seen a lot of apostasy, and I believe that is the reason why. It's because a lot of people, man, a lot of young people especially, when they hit 18, 19 years years old, man, they're out the door and you never see them again. And I understand there are parents that raise their kids right and they make that choice. I understand that very well. But I believe a lot of it has to do is we have taught them just to believe things because we say to believe it, but we have not taught them from the Word of God, here's why we believe what we believe. I'm afraid, I said it last Sunday night, but I'm afraid we're more concerned with our children having a good education. Nothing wrong with that, but we're more interested in their education than we are their salvation. We're more concerned with their sporting events than we are their spirituality. We're more concerned with their happiness than we are their holiness. May I remind us parents today that God gave us children for one reason, and that one reason is that we raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. My job, mine and my wife's job in raising those two boys is to raise them they might love God and serve God and be saved by the grace of God and dedicate their lives to the service of God, not to make a lot of money. I'm going to teach my boys to work and make money because I'm a preacher and don't have a retirement plan. So somebody's got to support me when I get too old to preach, and it ain't going to be much longer the way I'm feeling right now. But I'm going to teach them to work hard and have a good job and take care of their family. There's nothing wrong with that. But more than all of that, I want to teach my boys that God is real and the Bible is right and that they are born sinners and they need to be saved by the grace of God. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:6, we're to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of his youth. Ephesians 6:4, children, 6 verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We teach our children to walk. We teach them to talk. I said it Sunday night. Ain't amazing. We teach our kids, you know, say dada, say mama, and then they start talking. We're like, shut up, please, be quiet, stop talking. Take 5 seconds of silence, please, amen. But we teach them to walk and talk and eat, to read and write, to write about bicycle, to throw a ball, to tie their shoes, to work, to brush their teeth. I read a thing online. Google's an amazing thing, and I just Googled what are the most important things that parent need to teach their young people. Here's what they brought up. First of all, value for yourself. Boy, is that not where we're living at in 2020? Take care of you because you are important. Hey, I believe you ought to take care of yourself, but I don't think we ought to be in love with ourselves. I don't think we ought to elevate ourselves. That's pride is what we're teaching. They say we ought to teach them. Then a value for others. Then independence. Then courtesy. Not all these things are bad. Courtesy and critical thinking. Emotional development and self-expression. Self-discipline. Social dynamics and psychology. I never did learn that last one. I was just more of that first part. I was psycho. Didn't know much about psychology anyway. But it's interesting that list. I even read one list that said you need to, you know, teach you men, to teach a young man to stand up when they shake a man's hand, look him in the eye, and I agree with all that. But sadly, on that same list, you know what it said you need to teach your children to do? How to open a wine bottle. I read that. How to open a wine bottle. I'm telling you, I'm glad my boys don't know how to open one because their daddy don't know how to open one. Amen. They've never seen their daddy with one in their hand. And by the good grace of God, they'll never see their daddy with one in their hand. Their mama's a different story. But anyway, I'm just kidding, all right? It is Mother's Day. You have to make some mom jokes, all right? I'm just telling you tonight, or this morning, I've been preaching at night for the last 4 weeks, so I got to get this night talk out of my mouth. It's amazing in this list of all these things that the world said was important to teach our children, the Bible was not involved. Church was not involved. Salvation was not involved. And I think that's why we've raised a generation. They don't know what bathroom to go into. They don't know if they're a man or a woman. It's we've taught them to value themselves. We've taught them to be independent. We've taught them to have all these maybe skills that may not be bad all to get by themselves. But if you don't couple them with the Word of God, and if you don't teach them godly principle, you're going to raise a generation of rebels that does not know God, that does not know the Bible, and they'll die and go to hell without God. I'm telling you, God has given us children. Hey, we're not raising dogs at our house. Amen. We're not raising animals. We're raising children and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. There are some things I'm not going to let in my house. Amen. Amen. There are some things we're going to keep in our house. We're going to keep the Bible in our house. Amen. We're going to keep the Holy Ghost in our house. I can tell you, there are some things we need to keep out, and there are some things that we need to keep in. Over in Psalm, I preached out Psalm 78 the other night in the revival meeting. I read these verses and made a note to come back to them in this message. But in Psalm 78, the Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Watch what he said. "We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." And back down in verse number five, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." Here's why: that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare it unto their children, that they might set their hope in God and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Asa said we need to teach our children about God and about the word of God, so they won't end up like the previous generation in Israel that did not go in the land of Canaan. They didn't serve God, but they were rebellious. Anybody listen to me? They were rebellious against God. Their heart was not steadfast with God. And I'm afraid we have raised a double generation of unstable believers. Yes, a double-minded man. What is he, church? He's unstable in all of his ways. We need to teach our children some things. We may not get through it all this morning, but I want to give you some things that I believe out of this text here out of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Some things that are important to teach our children. As I began to study these, the Lord even convicted my own heart. And I made a few statements to my wife last night about some things that I, as a dad, need to change, because I've only got these boys for a short time. I mean, moms and dads, we think about it, we have them 18 to 19 years at the most, and we've got a short time to invest in their life and try to point them the right direction. And I want to do everything. I understand I can raise them right and they go away from God. I'm very well aware of that. But I don't want to take the chance of not raising them around the things of God. I'd rather take my chance of raising them around the Word of God, raising them in the Scriptures, raising them in Sunday school. I said raising them in Sunday school, raising them. Some of y'all forgot we're going to start having Sunday school again. Amen. I'm telling you, But everybody, I heard a black preacher on the internet this week. He said, "I got to apologize to the governor." He said, because he didn't make church non-essential. The church made church non-essential. He said, "We brought in rock bands like they have down here at the end of the road. Did you hear them rocking out this morning when you come in? And we got the law called on us." What's amazing about that? And he said, "We made the church non-essential. We don't go to it. We lay out. We tell our children it's optional. Maybe not in words, but what in deeds." So it's probably not Governor Cooper's fault. It's probably all of us parents who did not put a preeminence and a priority. You look at this preacher and look at your computer screen. I'm talking right to you. We not put a priority and a preeminence on the house of God. And the God said, "You know what? You don't want church? We'll just make it hard for you to go to church." I'm going to tell you what all this might be doing. It might be separating the wheat from the tares. It might be separating the men from the boys. And I'm telling you, it's time for the true church. And when I say true church, I'm talking about the blood-bought believers who love God and love the Word of God and love the things of God to rise up and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Here's some things we need to teach our children. First of all, in verse 4 and 5, we need to teach our children the supremeness of God. Look what he said. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Moses said, the first thing you need to tell me there's only one God. Now, there are many false gods, but there's only one true, real God. He talks about he is a sovereign God, the Lord. I'm glad to report to you this morning, I didn't have to make him Lord. He's Lord all by himself. I understand the principle of submitting myself to his authority. I understand Ephesians chapter 5 of submitting ourselves to God in the fear. I understand all of that. But I'm telling you, even if I don't, he's still God and he's still holy and he's still right. And if I don't submit myself to his authority, I'm just living in rebellion against God. And rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. That's right. He's a sovereign God. He's a special God, the Lord, our God, makes him personal. I'm so glad that he was the God of my mom and my daddy, but I'm so glad for the day when it went from being mom and daddy's God and it went to being my God. And I am praying and longing for the day when it goes from being mom and daddy's God to Daxon and Sotler's God. That is my desire and it is my job. Brother Richie, it is our job. Brother Steve, it is our job. Brother Charles, it is our job to teach our children. There's only one God, and he desires to have a personal relationship with you. He's a single God. The Lord, our God, is one Lord. He said over in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, we have a hard time with that, don't we? We put so many things in front of him. I'm telling you, this is not an essential place to me. This is not a non-essential book. This is essential. I cannot live without this. I don't want to live without this. I'm telling you, we need to teach our young people and our children that God is sovereign and that God is special and that God is single. We ought to have the single place and prioritized in your life. He's a significant God. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You recognize that verse? The Lord Jesus quoted that verse in the New Testament to the multitudes. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy might. That's your spirit, your soul, and your flesh. You're made up of three things, body, soul, and spirit. And those are the three things right there. Your heart deals with your spirit. Your soul, of course, deals with the soul. And your might deals with your body. So that tells me, Brother Caden, I'm the love of God with all my spirit. I'm the love of God with all of my soul. And I'm the love of God with my body. Somebody said, preacher, that's a lot of love. Well, he deserves a lot of it. He's given a lot of it. He deserves a lot of it. Amen. The supremeness of God. But secondly, I also need to teach my children that salvation is by grace. Look at verse number 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. I'm going to tell you, we need to teach our children that we don't go to heaven because we're good people. We don't go to heaven because we're Americans. We don't go to heaven because we're Baptists. And I thank God for all of those saints. But the only way we go to heaven is for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They taught them the problem. Verse 21 said, we were Pharaoh's bondmen. We need to teach our children they're born sinners. When they are born as precious, let's just be real. Every baby's ugly except for your baby when they're born. Come on now. They don't come out looking like they look on TV. I promise you that. I mean, it looked like a chihuahua. But they're the cutest chihuahua. Them two little boys, they're the cutest chihuahuas I ever seen. If there's ever such a thing, amen. But you know what? They're as cute, as innocent as they are sinners. They're born that way. They come from their mother's womb speaking lies. I'm telling you, when little Harper gets here, I'm telling you, she's going to be so precious in it, but there's going to be times when that little girl's going to be laying in the crib and she's going to scream like her throat's getting cut. And I'm telling you, you're going to break your little toe trying to run in there and see what's wrong. And you pick her up and she's fine. She lied. You know why? Because she comes from her mother's womb speaking lies. Wherefore, it's by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men. What church? For all have sinned. But notice not only the problem, notice the prayer. According to Exodus 3, they cried out to God. They cried out. God said, God, we're, watch this now, we're in bondage to the world. We're in bondage to Pharaoh, type of the devil. We cannot get out on our own. We're going to have a delivery. So you know what God did? God raised up a deliverer. God raised up a deliverer. One drawn out of the water. That drawn out means he was separated. The water in the Bible pictures the world. It pictures the spirit. But the water in the sea also pictures humanity. So he was one that was set apart from humanity. And he was sent to do a miracle. And what he done, he told the people about a lamb that if they put the blood, knowing the problem in the prayer, but the process, he brought them out of Egypt. You know what he done? He told them about a lamb. And if they put the lamb's blood on that door, when the death angel come passing through, that'd be all right. And I'm telling you this morning. I'm listening to me very, very carefully. I'm careful how I deal with young people. I'm careful how I deal with children concerning their salvation. Because I don't want to be confused, but I want to let you know children can be saved. Young people can be born again. I got saved at 5 years old, but that don't mean every young person at 5 years old needs to get saved, because every child has a different learning age. Every child has a different growth stage mentally by their ages. Every child has not been exposed to as much gospel and as much light as other children. But I'm so glad at 5 years old that I heard the gospel. I believed the gospel. I hadn't done a lot of bad things, but I was born a sinner, and I realized I could not save myself. I realized I didn't have enough money to get to heaven. I didn't have enough popularity to get to heaven. I didn't have any possessions to get to heaven. And so I come to Jesus. Here's all I said. And it wasn't even the words that saved me. It was the attitude of my heart. I said, Lord Jesus, please save me so I can go to heaven one day. You know what? That done it. Amen. That done it. That made the difference in my life. And I'm telling you, the God that's big enough to save their daddy, he's big enough to save my babies. He's big enough to save your family. He's big enough to save your children. But we've got to teach them that salvation is by grace and not earned. There's a lot of people that think, well, because Pastor Josh is my pastor. Hey, I'm privileged to be your pastor, but that ain't going to stand. That ain't going to give you any standing before God. Well, I'm a member of Safe Heart Baptist Church. Hey, we're glad to have you. But that ain't going to have any standing before God. The process, the power, he let them out, brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand, verse 21. There at the Red Sea, he made a way when there was no way. I'm telling you, are you born again? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? I preached for 3 weeks, every night down there. I mean, we've had some good service, but I have preached every night. And some meetings, you know, there's some service where you don't preach, and that's fine. If that's one of those tomorrow night, I'm good with that. But we've just been laying the word out. And Brother Sanford, I have not preached on hell. I preached on the judgment seat of Christ, but I've not preached on the great white throne judgment. And people just been getting saved. We was there one night, and we stayed in the fellowship hall in fellowship till 12:30. One night, 1:30 in the morning, just fellowshipping and just enjoying. And an old boy went to his pastor at midnight and said, Pastor, I got to get saved. We've had 3 preachers in the meeting get saved. None of them were pastors, just preachers in the church. I hadn't even been saying, there's preachers in here. I ain't been doing that. I ain't told no story. I've just been preaching the Bible. You know what God's doing? God's been revealing himself to people. And God's been showing them, hey, you know it's not right. You know your heart's not right with God. And I appreciate them junking their pride. We've had 3 preachers. We've had 3 teenage girls. And I think the youngest been an 8-year-old boy, a little white, got saved in the middle. And I thank God for all that he's doing. But are you saved? Do you know that you were born again? Do you know that if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home? The plan, verse 22 and 23, he brought them out of Egypt, but he brought them out that he might bring him in, verse 23. And he brought us out from thence, and he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. Can I say this? Salvation is not the ending. Salvation is the beginning. So I said, well, I got saved, so now I can do what I want to. Oh, no, 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 no. He'll change that want to. He'll change your desires. He'll change your want to-er, if that's a word. Hey, I want to go to church. My spirit, now let me clarify, sometimes my flesh don't want to. But my flesh, he shouldn't have a word to say. He shouldn't be allowed to say anything. In fact, we need to put a gag order on our flesh, because our flesh talks us out of a lot of things. But if we'll let that Spirit of God on the inside of us, amen, let that Spirit of God on the inside of us rule, I'm telling you, you know what we'll be? We might end up being a Christian. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. Salvation is not the ending. It's the beginning. Hey, when God, and I'm trying to stay in view of that camera, but when God brought them out, it wasn't be, okay, got y'all out. See y'all in heaven. No, he said, now let's go. Is God taking you anywhere? Is God leading? By the way, in the context, it's talking about the land of Canaan. We understand that Canaan is a picture of that victorious Christian life, living in victory. You can't live in victory without fighting battles. You know what we want? We want victory without the battles. You know how goofy that is? It's like them just handing a team the Super Bowl trophy without them playing a game. That would be foolish. I mean, you know about the sports world throwing a fit? If they just walked up and handed, we know the Panthers wouldn't get one even if they did one like that. But handing the Patriots, just giving them a Super Bowl trophy without them earning it, and it would tear the sports world up. But we expect to have victory without fighting any battles. Amen. The Lord told him, you're going to have to fight some battles. He said, but if you obey me and do what's right, I'll be with you. I'll help you. You won't have to fight them alone. And can I say, that's the same promise he made to us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:37, nay, and in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. There's a precaution in this. Verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Boy, that's easy to do. Somebody said, preacher, how can we forget the Lord? Well, Peter talks about that group that forgot they were purged from their old sins. Now, I don't understand all of that, but I believe the principle and the application is that they lived so much in the world, they forgot who they belonged to. Oh, they're still saved. They didn't lose it. Don't misunderstand me. Once you get saved, you can't lose it. Amen to that. Thank God for that. But you know, we can live so carnal and so fleshly and so worldly that we can forget who we belong to. May I remind you, you belong to somebody. If you're saved, you belong to somebody. Hey, if you're lost, you belong to somebody. Preacher, if I'm lost, who I belong? You belong to the devil. Jesus looked at that crowd in John 8:44 and said, you're of your father, the devil. Preacher, I'm not a child of the devil. If you're not born again, you are. Amen. Hey, we need to teach our children they can have victory over sin. I've got four more, but I don't know if I'm going to get to them. I'm telling you, this thing about salvation is so important. So important that you know 100% for sure that you're born again. It's not a take it or leave it. Or I remember one time we was having youth camp and God really moved in. I think it was a Tuesday night. We was having youth camp. God was really moving in that place. And it's probably one of the bigger years of camp we ever had. I know several of y'all were probably in that service. Brother Spears didn't even preach that night. And I was in another world. I was laying in the altar, dealing with people, talking with people. And I began to talk to this certain individual. And they told me, said, Pastor, I just don't know if I'm saved. And I began to question him and point him to the scriptures. But bothered me, Brother Sanford, is the parent was over there saying, I know you're saved. And I don't know that young person's condition or not. I really don't. Only God knows their heart. But I do know that night, they got up unsettled. I would hate to know that I was more concerned with my pride. Here are some parents. I know of a youth man where a friend of mine preached, and he got to preach on salvation. And he said, do you remember when the Lord put you under conviction and nobody said amen? He said, well, I mean, he said, I thought I didn't say it right. He said, when you realized you were lost, when you realized you were a sinner and nobody said anything, he looked at the pastor. He said, now, do you want me to keep on preaching here? Because if I do, people are going to get saved and there's going to be a lot of mamas mad at me. The preacher said, preach on. Young people got saved and parents were upset at the meeting because their little Junior and their little Susie made a profession of faith. Well, they were already saved. I'm telling you, you don't know that. I've heard, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, when my boys be making a profession of faith, you will never hear me or that young lady stand up, that I'm married to stand up and say, well, I know my kids are saved, because the only one in this building that I know is saved is me. Salvation. I understand we can look about your fruits. I understand that. I understand what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1. I understand that. But when it comes down to the heart of the matter, everybody thought Judas Iscariot was saved. I'm just telling you, we need to be very careful how we treat that. We've had people come down to the altar before and they'll say, I'm lost. I don't argue with them and say, well, don't you remember when you prayed this? I don't do that. I say, if you're lost, call on God. Call on God. Get it settled. That is more important than anything, is getting it settled. I'm so picky about it. When it comes to that time of the Sanford, I don't want anybody else dealing with my boys but me. Somebody said, that's awful pride and selfish thing. Oh, no. God gave them me. God gave them to me. You raise yours like you want to raise yours, but I want to talk to my boys. I don't care if I'm preaching 10 hours away. I'll drive through the night to get back to talk to them. Because I want to teach my children that salvation is by grace, through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. I'll come back tonight, I'll give you the other four. But let me give you a verse in this text and why a lot of parents are not teaching, and this will apply to what I'm preaching tonight as well. But you know why a lot of parents are not teaching these principles to their children? Look at verse 6. And these words shall I command thee this day, watch this now, shall be in thine heart. Here's what he's saying, Brother Richie. He said, before you teach it to your children, you make sure it's in your heart. You know why a lot of parents are not teaching their children about the supremeness of God and salvation by grace? It's because it's not in their heart. Boy, the Lord showed me that. I got in my office this morning and was eating my Bojangles biscuit, and I was trying to read over my text, and the Lord showed me that verse. He said, that's the problem with a lot of our young people. It's not in mom and daddy, and they cannot effectively teach them. You know what? Some of y'all get a laugh here. I can't teach my boys how to play basketball because I don't know how to play basketball. I know how you're supposed to get that little orange ball in that hoop, but I don't know about fouls. I don't know nothing about, you know, we was at Brother Ledbetter's youth camp last year, and we was all playing basketball. Some of y'all are there when this happened, and this boy went up for a shot, and I went up to block him, and I went wham and hit the kid right in the forehead. He went back like that, and I said, come out of him, demon. Everybody, I said, see, you've been in a healing meeting now. But Brother Michael Lindsay told me the other day, like, don't let Brother Josh play basketball. So I know they put the ball in the hoop, but that's about it. Now, you baseball? Now, we can talk now. I can talk to you about some baseball. I can teach these boys. During the quarantine, I've been trying to get Dax, but he ain't interested. I'm trying to make him interested, but I ain't going to push him. But we was out there in the yard, and I'd throw him the ball, and he'd swing. I can't do it. Finally, when he hit it, have y'all seen that video going around YouTube and stuff where that dad's throwing the ball to his little boy and the boy hits over the fence and that dad's jumping around hollering? I told Grace that, oh, if that ever happens, y'all going to think I'm Pentecostal. I speak in tongues. I can teach my boys how to do that. You know why? I can teach my boys baseball because it's in me. I know it. I got the knowledge of it. I played it. I've been involved in it. I watch it. I'm missing it right now. I'm missing it so bad, I'm watching games from the 90s, the good old days. But here's my point. You know, a lot of parents can't teach their kids about the things of God. It's not in them. We have responsibility. We'll come back tonight, I'll give you four more things. It's all in the text. You could read it and see them simply. It's all right there. But I believe it's important we teach our children, teach our young people the importance of the supremeness of God, first of all. God's not number one. God should be the only one. Yes. And then that salvation is by grace. Young people that's watching online, I hope they're watching online. Young people that are here today, you don't get to heaven based on your mom's religion and your dad's religion. Hey, they love you. And I'm going to tell you something now, your preacher loves you. But my love and my prayers for you won't get you to heaven. It's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to know that. Do you know that today? Let's stand. Honey, if you can come.